Welcome to Dear Legal Ops, the podcast tackling tough topics impacting today's evolving legal operations profession anonymously.
This podcast is made for and by the Legal Ops community.
We will hear trailblazing tales and lessons learned from seasoned professionals, change makers, and community champions.
Join us as we go on a journey of delightful insights and enthusiastic ideas that will inspire you to find your inner brilliance, personally and professionally.
Hey y'all, welcome back to another episode of Dear Legal Ops, where today, much like the mysteries we're about to unravel, your co-host Tom Stevenson had to navigate my own little technical enigma. That's right, folks, in a plot twist worthy of Cabot Cove itself, I found myself in the middle of a move and sans a crucial chord, proving once again that the art of rolling with the punches is as vital in podcasting as it is in our crazy in-house world. And isn't it just serendipitously relevant to today's theme? Just like in the dynamic dance between general counsel and legal ops, it's all about adapting, improvising, and turning unexpected challenges into opportunities for innovation. Our letter today comes from Andy, the armchair detective of Cabot Cove, Maine, who's on a quest not for the culprit behind the dastardly deed, but for the secret to forging the perfect partnership with the general counsel. And y'all, to help us crack this case, we're joined by none other than Krista Johnson, the head of legal ops at Lexion. Krista, a legend in her right own on DLO and in the legal ops community, returns to the scene of the crime after we last heard about her in episode 33, DLO Confidential, what a CLO looks for in a legal ops partnership. With a career that's taken her from innovation alleys of Amazon Web Services to the creative realms of PayScale and Big Fish Games, Krista's journey is a masterclass in navigating the legal tech landscape. As Seattle's community ambassador for Legal Ops Uncensored and a vocal advocate for neurodiversity and mental health, Krista really does embody the qualities of the ideal legal ops professional Andy is aspiring to become. So, as we adjust our detective hats and set our typewriters ready, let's embark on this investigative journey into the heart of legal operations. Krista's keen eye for identifying that boss's partnerships is exactly what Andy, the armchair detective, needs to solve this professional puzzle. But first, grab that glass, or perhaps a backup microphone, and get comfy as we dig deeper into Dear Legal Ops.
Our letter today comes from Andy, the armchair detective of Cabot Cove, Maine. Our listener writes, Dear Legal Ops, I find myself on a quest not unlike that of our beloved Jessica Fletcher. Though my mystery is less crime and more cryptography as I decipher the enigma of the perfect general counsel partnership. You see, I am in search of a new role, a position that allows me to apply my professional acumen in a manner as impactful and integral as Jessica's contribution to her own community. I aim to uncover a GC who values the strategic insight and operational excellence I will bring to the table. This quest for the ideal partnership is driven by a desire to not only support, but also to innovate and lead alongside a GC who appreciates the unique perspective and skills I offer. How can I identify a GC who understands the importance of our collaboration, much like the camaraderie and mutual respect found in Jessica and Amos? How do I demonstrate that my role in legal ops is crucial to unlocking the full potential of our legal department, ensuring our goals align not just with each other, but with the broader objectives of our organization? I aspire to forge a relationship where my voice is heard, my contributions valued, and together we can navigate the complexities of the department with the same determination and insight that Jessica Fletcher brings to solving mysteries. How can I ensure that my professional quest, I find a partnership that is not just present, but truly thriving? Yours in pursuit of the perfect partnership, Andy the Armchair Detective. Well, 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 look who we have here. Krista Johnson, Head of Legal Ops at Lexion. Welcome, welcome to the studio.
Thanks for having me.
Krista, how are you doing?
Good as I can be. It's conference season, so I feel like I'm always getting ready to take off again.
Oh, that sounds like a typical answer from someone from Seattle. That sounds like the Seattle answer. Oh, I'm just ho-humming along here, so.
Busy, busy, conference, busy, busy.
Exactly.
What's next on the agenda for you?
I am headed to Marcus Evans in Dallas, followed by Concero, also in Dallas in March. So this, yeah, February kicks off conference season, really, and I travel nonstop through the end of June.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I will see you in Dallas, my friend. I will be there in March, see you at Marcus Evans, and we're going to have a good old time talking legal operations over there.
Yeah.
So let's get into our letter. So we have this unique problem. Well, not really a unique problem, but we have Andy, armchair detective, who is looking to solve this problem of how do I find the right partnership? How do I know I have the right GC? I'm interviewing, I'm vetting people. And much like you're looking into a company and you're interviewing them as much as they're interviewing you, you want to put that right keen eye on who you're looking into and for a prospective boss. And you might remember, Krista, we had Jessica on episode 33 of Dear Legal Ops. And her episode was all about what a CLO looks for in a legal ops partnership. And of course, during that, she mentioned you, right? Because you are the legal ops partnership she was talking about. So Tom and I said to Tom, he was in that trench coat and he was out with his magnifying glass solving crimes. And I said, Tom, let's flip the script. Let's get Krista on so we can hear her perspective of, hey, what do you look for in a partnership with a GC or CLO? And I should probably just mention now, I'm going to use those two terms interchangeably, the head of the legal department, right? Whether they are in a CLO seat or a GC seat. And, you know, we thought we'd talk about what are the red flags? What do you do? What do you not do? What do you ask? And so let's just sort of set the stage. Like you have this really great working relationship with your CLO. How do you go out and find that? Like, what do we tell Andy when he's looking for a partnership?
I mean, my situation is definitely unique. I've worked with Jess before, and I think it's probably actually not really a unique situation. We get our jobs a lot of times, it seems like, especially in legal ops and as you move through your in-house career, through your network, through your connections. And so I think first and foremost, being able to leverage that community that you've built and find people that you want to work with and seek them out, seek out those roles. That's kind of a first starting point, but not every company is going to have an open legal ops seat. So in that case, leverage your network. Find out what it's actually like to work with these people in the day-to-day, because an interview, it's like a first date, right? Everyone's trying to put on the best version of themselves. And that's not necessarily how we show up every single day. So you really want to make sure that you're able to actually work with this person, not just the person they present themselves to be in that interview. So leverage your network, ask other people that have actually worked with them before, and use that information to help drive what you even apply for and are interested in the first place.
Ooh,
how interesting, or maybe not interesting, I think maybe more apropos to the letter itself and our theme here and the detective sleuthiness of Angela Lansbury, which, by the way, I mean, for those Murder, She Wrote fans out there and a DLO homage right to the typewriter, I think this is the full circle episode, right? On episode 33, we really dove in with Jess, and my second favorite character within the entire Dear Legal Ops series, Becky Connor, right, from Roseanne, coming back to Thanksgiving and feeling really out of place in Lanford, Illinois, right? But what you said, Krista, it's the same, just on the other side of the lens, right? You are trying to find your own voice and your own personality and kind of how you walk, how you talk, what you carry with you along this legal operations professional journey. And you talked a lot about how you also were sussing out Jess, interviewing her, understanding her communication skills and how she works. How did you get to that point that you felt comfortable enough not to just interview for a job, but ultimately take control and make sure that that job aligned with your values and what you were looking for in a partnership?
I think early in my career, I didn't know that. My first in-house job I took and I stayed way too long. I needed to move on way sooner than that. So learn from my mistake. Don't stay in a job too long. Don't work with people that you don't enjoy working with. And I was lucky enough to get an interview with Jessica when she was about 3 weeks into her GC role at PayScale. That was where we worked before. We worked together at Lexion. And I was able to figure out that she this is her first time doing this too. So me coming in-house in a contract manager role, knowing that we had to stand up an entire legal department because she was the first legal hire, I was really able to ask questions about how she envisioned our relationship kind of working together. Because I was looking for something that was more of a partnership and less of somebody just telling me to do things all the time. And this was kind of my first foray really into a more legal ops heavy role as a contracts manager. And I'm so glad that I took the time to do that. I also happened to know a few folks that worked at the company and was able to kind of get a little bit of backstory on her and the department. And that allowed me to ultimately make probably one of the best decisions I've ever made in my career. And that was to switch from a job doing mostly IP licensing to SaaS contracts, working with Jess.
Nice.
Tommy, do you see the same alignment when it comes to partnerships and networking? Because what I'm hearing both from Krista, as well as digging back into Jess's episode, is this alignment of whether you are doing this on LinkedIn, whether you are doing this as part of your voice in the community, or whether you're beating down the doors, right, to procurement or finance or what other partnership, right? There is this innate trait that you ultimately are seeking to find common ground and then really nurture that so that when it bubbles and when it boils, it spills over, right? Do you see the same thing in your view, in your world, throughout your career?
100%. And I think there's a reason why we see a legal operations role evolving into a chief of staff role. Because the reality is, and that doesn't mean that every legal ops role is going to be that. It doesn't mean that every legal ops role is going to have a component of that. But by and large, we've been seeing that trend. And the reason why I think we're seeing that trend is because you have an executive who needs a right hand. That right hand ends up being the person who is formalizing what the department is, how it's run, what resources you need. How do you make this thing go? How do you systematize it? Now you have that professional, that legal ops professional who is trusted by that executive, who they see they can rely upon. And so you're moving into that relationship part of it. It's literally like the chief of staff part of it. And so what do I see out there in the world? What do I see out in any relationship that you have, not just professional? What does there have to be? There has to be, you know, an idea of what communication looks like. There has to be trust. There has to be like some of the essential foundations that work in any relationship. And then if you start getting those right in this partnership, the person trusts you to execute on what they need. You have to learn how to communicate back and forth, right? So yeah, I wholeheartedly agree. I think that is exactly right. And that's why we're seeing this shift to a chief of staff role, because you're now a trusted confidant who can execute on what that executive needs. And you know, you're putting yourself in that position for the opportunity. Now, Kristen, let me ask you, you know, how do you sort of manage that relationship? It's hard to manage up. It's hard because lawyers are famously micromanagers. Like, how do you go about working in that capacity and getting someone to trust you and getting them to open up and getting them to feed you back information from meetings you're not in and helping, like, help me help you, right? That's what I used to say to one of my early GCs, help me help you. We spoke to each other almost exclusively in movie quotes. And like when it'd be time for my raise, I would just show him memes of show me the money, right? So basically, how do you get someone to help you help them? Like, what does the communication look like? What are some tips and tricks that you have out there for Andy?
Yeah, I think you have to kind of meet them where they are. Most GCs, CLOs, they've been in the industry for a while. They have a style of communicating and they may be able to adapt somewhat, but it's largely going to be on me to adapt to their style because I ultimately, my job as the head of legal ops is to support them and execute on their vision. So I have to slowly build trust by taking either low-hanging fruit or even a big project and just making it happen. And being transparent throughout the process is absolutely key. You said that lawyers love to micromanage. My boss is no exception, when, especially when she's getting questions from the rest of the C-suite. So I have to be able to preemptively provide her the information she needs without a ton of like guidance on what she's actually going to need to be presenting. I want her to have the information when she's at the table, not have to come back to me and pester me with questions. Then just increases the time that the project actually takes to be completed and to be executed. And that also helps me build trust with the rest of the C-suite as well, because they're seeing, and also for her, it's hard for a legal person to get a seat at the table. So she has that seat at the table. It is my job to make her look as best as I possibly can and make her look like she knows what she's doing.
That's right.
This episode is made possible by our sponsor, Legal.io. Legal.io is the fastest growing community and marketplace for legal talent. Legal.io connects legal professionals to resources and opportunities at the world's leading in-house departments and firms. Legal.io is the launchpad for legal careers, matching legal ops professionals, attorneys, paralegals, and so many other legal professionals at some of the world's most exciting companies, with a level of precision that only a data-driven, vertical-specific marketplace can provide. Supported by significant investors like Tiger Global, Legal.io is redefining the legal workspace. If you want to learn about the enterprise marketplace solution for legal talent, access salary surveys with compensation data as unique as you, and join their vibrant in-house legal community, visit www.legal.io. That's LEGAL.io. Legal.io, your gateway to a global legal talent marketplace designed with the legal operations community in mind.
We have our letter, right, that specifically is asking this question, right? Like, how do I understand and identify that GC because I may be, and what is our, let's just talk about the elephant in the room here. Everyone's looking for a new job, right? Everyone is looking for something new. The profession is elevating. It's really taking on its own next chapter in a different way that really is focusing, like, girl, I love you to death. And shout out to all of my CLM peeps out there, right? But now it's these more encompassing roles that don't always start at the front door of contracts to lead into head of legal operations. So if you were to take today's Krista, and turn back time, share, going all the way back to Miss Angela Lansbury from Murder, She Wrote, what would you tell little old Jess or little old Chris who's entering this profession, right? To be able to apply the same logic, whether they're seeking out and sussing out their GC or maybe just even their first role into legal operations to understand what that boundary is.
I think like any project, you need to go into it with a plan. You need to know what are your values? What are your pain points? What have they been in other jobs? And what do you want to see in this next role? What do you envision the relationship being like? And if you take an interview and whether it's just a vibe or it's a specific answer that kind of crosses one of those things off the list, that probably means that it's not the right role for you if you have that ability.
What are Krista's values today that she thinks are important for the Krista's coming after?
It is hard to find a lawyer, especially as someone who is not a lawyer myself. My work has to be supervised as a contracts manager. It's hard to find legal leaders that are willing to really trust you as much as they would trust a fellow attorney. Yeah. And so I'm looking for someone who is able to see beyond the importance of an attorney role, which definitely has its place in an in-house team, and recognize that an ops role doesn't require a law degree. There's no reason they can't trust me the same amount as that they could trust an attorney on my team to do the same thing. I'm looking for respect. I want to be treated respectfully. I've spent too much time and too many jobs working with people that did not treat me with respect. I did not have those boundaries in place at that time. You know, it's impacted my mental health, my work-life balance, and that's just something I'm not willing to sacrifice anymore. So I want my GC, my CLO, to respect me as a person, respect my time, respect my opinion, because lawyers tend to be opinionated. All of us in the legal profession tend to be opinionated.
No, get out of here.
I want somebody who's willing to shift their way of thinking, who understands that you don't always know best. I think the best leaders that I've worked for in legal and outside of legal, they're the people that come to the room and ask questions. And clearly, they know that they don't know everything. I want a leader who is not afraid to come to me and admit they don't know much about e-billing or knowledge management. And they can then leverage my skills in those areas because they recognize that I'm here to fill those weaknesses because lawyers aren't ops people when it comes down to it. That's not how they're trained.
That's right.
Being able to identify and just know that you don't know everything is what I look for in any leader that I'm going to work for, let alone the person I'm like going to work closely with, the CLO.
So now that we've heard the tips and tricks from Krista to Krista, Tommy, flip it on the other side. Opposite wise, right? What are you looking to avoid if you're reaching back into the Angela Lansbury archives and tell Tommy's of past?
Yeah.
On the other side of the coin, what would you say is your couple road hazards that you're looking to avoid as you're driving or flying down this highway?
Here are the clues that I want to uncover when I'm me speaking to younger me, mentoring someone early in their career, red flags you might want to look out for. And Krista hit on a few. You do want someone who is interested in you. And what that means is I want you to be interested in the expertise that I bring to the role. I do not want you to just presume that I am someone who's going to carry out whatever it is that you're telling me to carry out, because I spend all of my time inside of legal ops. So I spend my time at conferences. I spend my time doing this podcast. I spend my time becoming a matter expert on this. If you just want me to come in and carry out your wishes, it may not work. Like, I might have my own opinion. I might go, this is what would be best for you to do. This is the technology maybe you should consider. This is the resource planning. This is the XYZ. So it is that partnership being reciprocal, that someone is actually listening to me, that someone wants me to fill in the gaps, not that they just want me to simply be an extension of their thoughts. And we can be provocative together. We can sit there and go back and forth. And I can always look to someone and say, this is what I'm thinking, punch holes in it, right? But some of that maturity for me didn't come until later in my career. It came with building confidence in what I was doing. It came with building self-esteem, and some of it was just maturity of growing up. And so I would tell a younger person or someone who's, you know, starting out in this space, if they really do think that they have something to offer, that it's okay to be confident about it. But I would also caution against sort of being rigid in any way. Right? Like, I think we should all have intellectual curiosity. I think we should all be wanting to have thought-provoking conversations, creativity. So that's what I would be looking for, right? Someone who's open, someone who's communicative. If someone is rigid, if someone has their mind made up, if someone knows everything, right? Those are all huge red flags to me. I don't think that they work. I don't think they'll work well with me because I am looking to grow. And I would find it really hard to grow with someone who just sort of knew everything, right? I don't think either one of us would grow. So intellectual curiosity, you can't put a price on it, right? Like, because you can at least be open and talk. That's what I would look for. And the last thing I'll say is we also have tools that I certainly didn't have when I was coming up. Like, and I'm going to shamelessly shout out Legal.io here, like salary tools, right? Being able to see like, where do I sit in the landscape of what I'm doing and what I'm worth? And like going out there and being able to sort of competitively bid for yourself. Like, we have a lot of tools we didn't have even a mere 5 years ago. So utilize the tools that are out there. Many of them are free, and like look to see like, what are your peers making? What does that job description say? In a lot of states, you have to post what the salary is. So all of those are tools at your resource, Andy, that you can use. Not only doing the sleuthing, not only going in, LinkedIn stalking, what does this person say? What are the articles that they like? Like, who is this person that I might be working for? And then you can also, of course, like interview them and ask whatever questions you want to know. But really, like my secret to success and the way that I've gotten really lucky in good partnerships, my current role included, is I'm just myself. And then I see if I actually vibe with that person. Are they being themselves too, right? Like this is kind of what you get. What you see is what you get. So if I'm myself and I bring my authentic self to them and I think I'm getting their authentic self back based on all the sleuthing I've done and whatever and do all the pieces fair, right? If that connection feels good and authentic and right, we have the formula for a relationship and I think we can make anything work based on that.
I mean, it is just raining all of the good advice over here in the house of DLO. I will say we are getting the red siren light to wrap this one up, Krista. It has been a pleasure, but I will say, coming back full circle all the way, right, from episode 33 in the partnerships that Jessica went ahead and shared with us about GCs and understanding the value of legal operations. Today, we're flipping the script and helping our Angela Lansbury wannabe and trying to figure out how do you as a legal operations professional find that perfect partnership? So what's the one thing that you would want to leave our Andy the armchair detective today with? This is what I think is the key to success, to finding that secret sauce in partnership.
I think it's coming prepared with questions for your interview. For me, as someone who does a lot of interviewing other folks, it's always a red flag to me when someone doesn't come with questions. But this is really your opportunity to suss out, is this the company I want to work for? Is this the person I want to work for? I ask a lot of like pretty tough behavioral questions, and I would do the same as the interviewee. I would ask, hey, here's a hypothetical. How would you deal with it? And there's nothing wrong with you as the interviewee asking those tough questions too, because that's really the only way you're going to get to the bottom of how does this person work outside of reaching out to your network and kind of back channeling on what the person's actually like to work with.
It's true. If you ain't do you, boo, you can't do anyone else, right? You got to know who you are and what you want. And in doing that, I think you find your voice and you find that perfect partnership. So Krista Johnson at Lexion, thank you so much for joining us today. Really, really appreciate all these valuable insights. And for anyone who wants to be able to find Krista, you can find her on LinkedIn. That's Krista Johnson at Lexion. And Tommy, this has been fantastic. Thank you again for this awesome opportunity and reaching back into the archive. I love these little sleuth detective 1980s references. So I think we should keep this one up as we continue to dive further into the perfect partnership between cross-functional collaborations.
That's right. Krista, thank you. This was such a pleasure.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
And there we have it, the final chapter of today's episode of Dear Legal Ops, drawn to a close with the astuteness of Krista Johnson, our guest who navigated the twists and turns of the general counsel and legal ops relationship with the precision of Jessica Fletcher solving a mystery in Cabot Cove. As we put away our typewriters and hang up our detective hats for the day, we're left pondering the secrets to a successful partnership, much like the resolutions to the most enthralling Cabot Cove mysteries. The art of managing up, the importance of mutual respect, and the strategy behind effective communication, these are the tools in our kit for solving the day-to-day puzzles we face in the legal ops world. So House of DLO, as we bid adieu to this episode, let's carry with us the wisdom and insights shared by Krista. Remember, in legal operations, it's not just the evidence, but how we piece it together that reveals the big picture. As you go about cracking your own cases, remember the lessons from Cabot Cove, the value of a keen eye, the importance of asking the right questions, and above all, the power of open communication. Until next time, keep your magnifying glass handy, your wit sharp, and your partnership stronger. Cheers to you, Andy, Krista, Tom, and all our listeners, especially you over there in the trench coat. Thank you for unraveling this very important mystery with us. For more Dear Legal Ops content, make sure to follow us on all social media using the handle @DearLegalOps.
Have a tough legal ops topic you want us to tackle? submit a letter and share your stories with us at dearlegalops.com/submit for a chance to be featured on the show.
Like what you hear? Go ahead and leave us a 5-star review wherever you're listening.
As always, I'm your host, Tom Stevenson, adding a splash of color to the lively landscape that is legal operations.
And I'm Tommy Tavares Pereira, your voice of reason amidst the whirlwind of change, keeping it real and relatable.
Dear Legal Ops is produced by Red Rock Music.
Until next time.